So even when Srila Prabhupada was about to leave this world, he emphasized this same point, which we all take for granted. We are not these bodies. he could barely speak. He was so weak. And he said, we are not these bodies. Everything is going on by the will of Krishna. So these two statements by Srila Prabhupada are very important for devotees, because while ever we're on the bodily platform, then it's very difficult, in fact it's impossible, just to practice devotional service. We're just practicing it in the on the automatic platform. We're following rules and regulations, directions, but we're not really engaged in Krishna consciousness. That's what Srila Prabhupada said, actually. He said, devotional service is not just activity, although in the nature of devotion, it explains that without activity, there's no devotional service. But if it's just activity, then it's just an external thing. But devotional service, you say, in Krishna consciousness. So this is the work that a devotee has to do. This is the most difficult thing, to change the consciousness. The only thing that one devotee or one person can be in the spiritual world, and another person or another devotee can be in the material world. It's just dependent solely on his consciousness. The same things are happening, the same things are going off. One is calling the situation and he's thinking that this happened because of this, and if I'd have only done this, and in the future I will get this. It's called hankering and lamenting. But a devotee, when he becomes a little well situated, he's peaceful because he's not hankering and lamenting. He's realizing that, as Prabhupada said, everything is going on by the will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So how can we understand that? Sometimes you do the most stupid things. How did Krishna allow me to do this? Or how can Krishna be in this situation? No, Krishna is two birds in the tree. We all know this analogy. One is acting and one is witnessing. So whatever we do, Krishna is witnessing. And our work or our duty is to bring the consciousness to remember that. And that whatever happens, Krishna is still in charge of the situation, so we take shelter. Sometimes we think we do things so out of order that we cannot take shelter. It's impossible. I'm so out of it, as they say. But no, any situation, it's just a matter of the conclusion is to remember Krishna in all situations. And then, by remembering Krishna, our activities can become pleasing to Krishna. What's the perfection of our devotional service? To please Krishna. This is the nature of devotion. How Krishna is pleased, and not how we are pleased. In bodily consciousness, subtle and gross, we are thinking, if I'm pleased, then my devotional service is successful. I'm doing well. And if I'm not pleased, I'm not doing very well. So that means we're going to be up and down in devotional service. But if we're properly fixed, whatever situation we're in, if we're trying to serve Krishna with our body, mind and words, then we are well situated. The result is an external thing. Tasmat sarvasu kaleshu mana anusnat mara yugyacha maya pita manobadhir mami vaishasya asamshayah. He says, O Arjuna, you should always think of me at the form of Krishna. With your mind and activities dedicated to me, your mind fixed on me, and your activities dedicated to me, you will attain me without a doubt. So this is how. Anyway, before we get onto that, this is how we get off the bodily platform. But is it so easy? Who's on the bodily platform here? Hands up. Some got two hands up. So yeah, we're struggling to get off the bodily platform. We're struggling to appreciate our real situation. So what's the, are there any practical ways we can do that? Anybody come up with any practical ways? Okay, it's, they say we've got to have coping strategies, is that right? In other words, if we can't do the whole thing, let's do something in between which will make up until I can do it. Does anybody have any coping strategies for becoming off the bodily platform? Nobody? One, go. Praying. Yeah, that's a good coping strategy. I was thinking, actually, I went to hospital a couple of years ago. My father was in hospital, and I walked in the hospital, and it's very eye-opening. They were wheeling this person about just as if it was a sack of potatoes. He was laid on the, what do you call it? It wasn't even, no, it was one of these flatbed, and he was just plonked on there, and you couldn't tell whether he was alive or dead. And I was thinking, actually, this is the end of everybody, that, you know, people, and the person who was wheeling it about, he wasn't aware that there was a living entity on the platform. And then I was talking to Sridharm yesterday, and he was saying how he went to visit his mother in hospital. And at the side of his mother's bed was another bed with this woman who passed away. And she was wrapped in like a mummy, mummified. And all the relatives were there crying. And when his mother saw this mummy, she said, "Get me out of here." You know, it made her really upset. So this is one way we can understand or come off the bodily platform, by seeing the reality. But this happens only seldom. They call, what kind of viragya is that? What kind of viragya do they call it? Smasana viragya. In other words, when we see, especially in a graveyard, when it's a funeral, then it wakens us up. This is going to happen to me. But then as soon as we come away, immediately we're trying to enjoy the body again. And there's another kind of viragya. What's that one? Eh? Marketer viragya. What kind of viragya is this? It's monkeys. So how is a monkey cheating? And how do we cheat and become like monkeys? It's when we try to be renounced and we're not actually renounced. We put a face on. Like the monkeys, they're very renounced, aren't they? They live outside. They don't have any clothes. They eat very simply. But what's their main activity? Sex life. So we should be not just externally renounced. So this needs, this is the work we were talking about. We have to really work on our consciousness. This is the process of Krishna consciousness. So I've got a few. So what's the cause of our conditioning? There's a nice verse in the Bhagavad Gita. Why do we associate with the body? Purusha prakriti stohi bhunkte prakriti jnanganan karana guna sangasya sadasat janmayonishu. In other words, the living entity is focusing in on sense gratification. This is, and the sense gratification is coming from the modes of nature. He's identifying himself with the body, which is enjoying this material energy. And therefore, he finds him in different situations and thinks of himself as higher or lower, or dog, man, beast, and so many things which we are actually not. So our focusing on the desire to enjoy the material world is the root cause. What does it say in the Bhagavad Gita? Atokena prayuktayam. It says that Krishna asks the question, that how is it that even though we don't want to engage in sense gratification, we're bound to? And what does Krishna say? He says it's karma esha, krodha esha, it's lust. The desire to enjoy. Lust is not necessarily to enjoy sex life, but lust means that desire to enjoy anything personally. And so this is very subtle. And when we try to enjoy something personally, it means that we're immediately on the bodily platform. So this is the difficulty that we find ourselves in. So what's the ultimate answer? How do we get off the bodily platform? Devotional service. Devotional service engages all the senses in the service of the Lord. And when the senses are engaged, what else is engaged? The mind. Sorry, and the intelligence. Body, mind, and intelligence. So, this is nicely explained in the Bhagavad Gita, actually. What is pure devotional service? I'll just read it to you. It says that Karya Karana Kartritve Hetu Prakriti Uchite Purusha Sukadukanam Bhaktritve Hetu Uchite. Nature is said to... Oh, sorry, this is the wrong one. The wrong one. Here we are. But those who worship me, giving up all their activities unto me, and being devoted to me without deviation, engage in devotional service, and always meditating upon me, having fixed their minds upon me, O son of Pritha, for them I am the swift deliverer from the ocean of birth and death. And then Prabhupada, or the Gita, goes on to tell us how we just fix the mind on Krishna. And this is enough. But actually, who can fix the mind on Krishna? It's not really possible. So therefore, it explains how we should follow the principles of Vaidhi Bhakti. This is for one who can fully engage in the activities of devotional service. And then automatically, the consciousness is changed gradually. Or if we can't do that, then we should actually engage in the assistance of those who are performing devotional service. And if we can't do that, what should we do? It said we should do some welfare work. Take his mind off the body. Then we start focusing on other people's welfare. All these things, the whole material world is designed like that. That when we try to enjoy selfishly, ultimately we suffer. But when we try to go outwards from ourselves, then we find some enjoyment. Ultimately, it's training us up for this time when we can engage in pure devotional service. We're aiming for this pure devotional service. Sarva Padi Vinir Muktam Tatparat Vena Nirmalam Rishikesha Rishikena Sevanam Bhakti Uchite. So this Upadi, what's this Upadi? It means false designation. So first thing it talks about devotional service in the nectar of in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, it says devotional service begins when we're free from sarva, all upadis. While ever we have some false designation, then devotional service is not actually manifest. Sarva padi vinirmuktam. Vinirmuktam means completely eradicated. Tatparat vena nirmalam. Rishikesha rishikena. By engaging the senses in the master of the senses, and remembering that these senses are meant for the service of the master of the senses. Rishikesha rishikena. Sevanam bhakti uchite. Then this is devotional service. And what's the mentality of performing that service? It's what? Favourable. What else? It's Anya Bilashita Shunyam. Jnana Kamada Ritam. Anukul Yena Krishna No Shilanam Bhakti Uttama. What does that? Sorry? Yeah, Anya means no is Abhilas. Ye Abhilas. My desire is to obtain the service of Srimati Tulsi Devi. We sing. But we shouldn't have any Abhilas for material enjoyment. Therefore, it's Anya Abhilas. Anya Abhilasa Sita Shunyam. Shunyam means zero. This is pure devotional service. Once I was asked that question by one devotee. about pure devotional service. He says, can we just do what we want to serve Krishna? So what do you think? Might have some different opinions. We have to follow. So how do we serve Krishna? How do we know what Krishna wants? Yeah, we have to do it through the external means. And eventually that becomes purified so we can understand more directly what Krishna means, what Krishna wants. So Anyabhilasitashunam, Gana, Kamadi and Avritam. So we have tendencies for these things. We have tendencies to enjoy the body. We have tendencies to enjoy the mind, to enjoy by our erudite scholarship, by showing how much we know. This is a mental speculation or jnana. And then there are some classes of people who are more elevated, even though they're actually nearly liberated, they're still trying to enjoy. These are the yogis. And then finally, any other kind of sense enjoyment is mentioned in this verse. So it's making it quite clear that if we want to... Prabhupada said this before he left his body, we are not these bodies. But we're doing so many things which just cement our bodily identification. Anything we do to increase the bodily identification is just making us more difficult to serve Krishna, more difficult to become to the point of rendering pure devotional service. So sarva pādi vinivakta. We need to be freed from all these upādis. And so in the Srimad Bhagavatam, actually I can give one example of how one person who came off the bodily platform. I once went on my holidays many years ago before I joined the movement. It was an English seaside town. And I was staying in this boarding house and there was this old soldier there. He didn't have any of the medals on, he was modest. But anyway, I got talking to him and he used to walk down the promenade 2 miles and 2 miles back every day. He was about 80, very fit. And as we were talking, he said he used to be in the First World War. So that's a long time ago. And he said that... So I was asking him, why have you got that bit of a limp? He said, and then he got started talking. He said, I used to be a soldier I was a sergeant in the British Army on the front in, where was it? Belgium. On the Somme and Wipers and all these places. And he said, we were sent on reconnaissance and I was a sergeant in charge. And we went behind the enemy lines. But unfortunately, they got spotted. And so the enemy came running towards them. And so they started to turn and started to run. He says, but there was one of his men, he just froze out of fear. And at this little fence, he could have jumped over it easy. So he wondered what, and he saw them coming, so he ran back and got hold of him and pulled him over the fence. And they both started running. But at that time, there was one of the enemy, he'd got one of these, have you seen these hand grenades? Like a lollipop. He threw it, and he didn't bother to see where it was going, and he heard this loud explosion nearby, and he just kept running. And they ran for 3 miles with the enemy after them. He said, when he eventually stopped, he was so focused. When he eventually stopped, they got to their own lines. He felt something wet on his leg and he looked down and half his calf had been blown away. And when he went to in front of the medics, they said, oh, we'll have to take your leg off. He says, I've just run 3 miles with that, you're not taking that off. So they let him use it. And that's why he exercised every day, just to give that strength. But what's the point? He had no other desire. He was abhilas. Anyabhilas shunyam, anyabhilasita shunyam. He was fixed. I want to get back there because if I stay here, I'm finished. And so, in devotional service, it's the same. We have to be so fixed on service to Krishna, so determined. And so, this is where we need that other thing, not the bad association, but the good association. Because it's Prabhupada said, without good association, it's not possible to actually perform devotional service. And what's good association is those people who can lift us off the bodily platform. So that means it's actually a painful situation. We either experience pain now or pain at the time of death. It's described that at the time of death, if we're in the bodily concept of life, that's what causes us to suffer pain at the time of death. We're so attached to the body. But if we're actually in Krishna consciousness, we're not attached to the body. So how do we get off that bodily platform? We can accept criticism. We can accept guidance. There was Ramanujacharya? I'm not sure, actually. There was one Acharya. I'll not quote who it was because I'm not sure of the name. But his disciples used to come and listen to class every day. And there used to be this critic who used to come to class every day. And he used to criticize him every day. And his disciples, they were really angry, you know. And then when he'd gone, they'd say, Guru Maharaj, why do you put up with him? Just give us a word and we'll see to him. But anyway, he said, no, he's my best friend. He says, because he's criticizing me, he's helping me to actually make progress in devotional service. So in other words, devotional service is not a tea party. Sometimes we, you know, eating, dancing. They said, Prabhupada said that, didn't he, in the beginning? What we're doing, we're feasting, dancing, what else? Singing. But it's more than that. These things, if we can absorb ourselves, are enough. But usually we have to work in between those things also. We are fixing the mind on using these things also in Krishna's service. And that can also be a difficulty. In the beginning, Krishna gives us a lot of mercy. We're actually wallowing in mercy. This is devotional service. And it is actually, that's what we should be experiencing every day. But then, in order to get to that consciousness by our desire, we have to develop that desire. Then we have to start to wheedle out all the anartas in the heart. So I was once on, I think I mentioned this the other day in the Brahmachari class, we were on the, going to one program, it was in Harrow. I remember walking in the nearby cemetery, we were on seeing a devotee. And then as we were walking, I noticed in the distance a tree, a huge tree, but it was an unusual colour, very white, pale. I thought, that's very unusual. No leaves, it's the middle of summer. And when I got there, we could see that there was this twine around it. Does anyone know what that plant is? It's ivy, poison ivy. So it's not that, I don't know whether ivy is poisonous or not, but the poison that tree gives to that creeper gives to the tree is that it latches onto it. And whatever nourishment the trees get in, the ivy sucks it out and grows very strong, carries on wrapping itself around it, digging itself in, sucking it out. So this is material enjoyment. When material enjoyment is, we're allowing the poison to suck out all our enthusiasm. It's like described in the Bhagavatam. This remaining on the bodily platform is like the reeds which go into a pond. If we've ever got any experience, I know where I used to live, I noticed when I was on a walk one day, there's a pond which is completely covered by these reeds. And I said, there's no water left in the pond. The reeds have completely sucked all the water up. So it says material desires are like reeds in a reservoir of water. The reservoir of water is gradually depleted of all its moisture. So anyway, I've harped on about the point, but this is the reason we can't get off the bodily platform, because we're trying to enjoy the body. We can only get off the bodily platform when we try to give some pleasure external to ourselves. And ultimately, we can only maintain that when that reciprocation is with Krishna. If we try to reciprocate with others, it will be temporary, that's all. Why? Because we want unlimited enjoyment. Why? Because we're unlimited. The soul's unlimited. But how much can a living entity give us with a limited material body? Very limited. So even the formula doesn't work. But we're convinced, yes, one day we'll do it. So anyway, I'll just read the verse again. Every conditioned soul receives a different type of body according to his work, and when the engagement is finished, the body is finished. Although the spirit soul is situated in subtle and gross material bodies in different forms of life, he is not bound by them, for he is always understood to be completely different from the manifested body. If we can just understand that one point and work on that, then we'll be successful in devotional service. Have any questions or comments on that?